Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. This is episode 161, News. So in the news, I just want to say really sorry, guys, about last week's short episode. We had some difficulties in my family and just people getting sick and stuff, and it was a bummer. And I got all of your messages just, you know, wishing for well-being and prayers and all that. And I just want to say thanks to everybody. They were well-received. Everybody's on the mend, so I really appreciate it. And also, right off the top, I wanted to mention an event that's happening in Pennsylvania area, particularly the East Side. And even if you're in New Jersey or some parts of New York, you might be able to make the trip. I will just read you the correspondence. It's actually from Honesdale Lodge in Pennsylvania. It's a great lodge, and they have a great charity. And Brother Clinton Langford is the man behind the push for this event. So he sent out a letter, and I wouldn't be reading this if it really wasn't a great cause. It says, "Greetings from Honesdale Lodge. Honesdale Lodge is honored to announce its inaugural fall formal, an event created to benefit local charities. As the principal tenets of Freemasonry are faith, hope, and charity, Masons believe strongly in the necessity of being a positive force in our local community. This year's event will take place at the Inn at Woodlock, and all proceeds will benefit Marley's mission. We are calling on the members of our humble lodge and local business owners to make this event a success. The goal for the evening is to raise $5,000 for the charity. In order to make the event a success, we are asking local merchants to donate goods or a gift certificate from their business. These donations will be given away as door prizes to the attending guests. Your generosity will not only provide advertisement for your establishment, it will greatly aid our effort to sell tickets. The event will take place on November 8th at 6 p.m. The cost of the ticket is $60, of which $30 will be tax-deductible charitable donation. The remaining $30 will cover the cost of dining and entertainment for the evening. More information on Marley's Mission can be found at www.marleysmission.com. Any questions about the event? The contact for donations and tickets is Brother Clinton Langford. Please assist us in our effort to better our community by making this event a monumental success." Again, that's from Honesdale Lodge, number 218 FNAM of Pennsylvania. The event is going to be really cool. I've had the pleasure of being at Honesdale Lodge. It's an excellent lodge. I've met Clinton Langford. He's a wonderful brother, along with Brother Brian Evichin and so many great guys out there. They're all very much behind this charity. Please check out marleysmission.com and check out Honesdale Lodge's Facebook page. I'll have a link to it in the show notes so you can get in contact with Brother Clinton Langford, or if you're on our Facebook page, I did share the PDF and he's got his phone number on that also, so you can check it out. Give him a call if you want to help out. So I hope you guys watched the TMR last week. It's pretty awesome. They had the topic of the Illuminati. They had a special guy on there who basically wrote a book about it, and it was a great success of an episode. It went for over an hour, and I just finished putting all the episodes up on iTunes. So if you'd like to listen to the Masonic Roundtable, they are totally up to date on iTunes. So check that out also. But before we jump into the paper for the week, if you listened last week, we read a paper which talked about science behind one of the working tools, the 24-inch gauge, and we likened it to the circadian rhythm, which is your body's biological clock, a blending of sorts. It got me thinking about other working tools and the possible scientific or implications that it could present. So, like the compasses, these are supposed to keep us from acting outside of our influences. Sometimes it's said to keep us minding our own business, stay away from those things which might take away from our human journey, or that could corrupt us. But also, the compass is a tool used for direction. Perhaps there is something there as well. I'm kind of looking at all of the working tools in this way now, you know, whether we can blend them within science and find a deeper meaning in those working tools also. So again, the 24-inch gauge was likened to the circadian rhythm, and I'm talking about the compasses. So within the compasses, could the compasses also be a sort of depiction of the idea of the mind's ability to control our actions? It is a drawing compass, not necessarily a directional one, although it can be used for navigation. So this perhaps allows you to draw your own circle or sphere of influence. In our bodies, it may be the equivalent to perhaps the part of the brain called the lateral habenula, which is one of the smallest parts of the brain, which may play a crucial role in making cost-benefit decisions or decision-making. Anyway, I think if we'll look at some of these different working tools over the next few weeks and see if we can bring them together, marry them up with a scientific explanation, maybe the human biological connection to these working tools, and just very candid, you know, just talking about this. This isn't from a paper or anything, so we can be free to discuss. And I'd like to invite you guys all to let me know what you think on Facebook. Let's talk about the working tools a little bit. Let's talk about their biological human counterpart, if there is one. Or maybe I'm just going a little bit too deep. Anyway, again, I think we'll look at some of these over the next few weeks. And in the meantime, stop by the social media pages and let's continue the conversation. On to the paper for the week. It's a bit deep, so I hope you drank your coffee or took your Alpha Brain or just are plain ready for some deep information. This piece is called The Mystery Degrees by Leslie M. Scott, 33rd degree, Sovereign Grand Inspector General in Oregon. It was an address before the Multnomah Council of Kadosh at Portland, Oregon. The New Age, August 1946. Old as philosophy is the phrase, quote unquote, to know is to live. We find that thought in the ancient mysteries running back thousands of years. To know, said the sages of antiquity, is to believe in the unity of God, to purify the soul, to prepare for the future life, and to do our duty to our fellow man. So said Zarathustra, Socrates, and the man of Nazareth. The authors of Jewish and Christian scriptures, the authors of Masonic doctrine, the thinkers and reformers of every age, and Albert Pike, the formulator of the Scottish Rite. To know is to live. Men seek to know so that they may live wiser, better, and happier. Seek and ye shall find. Luke 11:9. The phrase live and learn is a cynical reversal of words. Better for spiritual and material progress is first to learn so that one may thereafter live and quote-unquote keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. The ancients practiced a moral science which the Greeks 2,500 years ago called mysteries. The word generically meant to close the eyes and mouth to hide. The hidden things inspired the Apostle Paul, who was versed in the mysteries, to say, quote unquote, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. The science seems to have originated in India and to have spread to Ethiopia, Egypt, Phoenicia, Greece, Persia, Assyria, Rome, Britain, and Scandinavia. It consisted originally of secret religious rites. The Egyptians made much of them and attached legends to their supreme gods Osiris, the father, Horus, the sun, and Isis, the spirit. These legends were imitated in the religious and philosophical lore of the peoples of antiquity, including the Goths and Scandinavians of Northern Europe and the Druids of Britain. The early Christians used them in their sacramental rites, especially as to the Eucharistic elements of Christ, the communion, and the exclusion of strangers and persecutors. Says Albert Pike, quote, originally the mysteries were meant to be the beginning of a new life of reason and virtue. The initiated or esoteric companions were taught the doctrine of the one supreme God, the theory of death and eternity, the hidden mysteries of nature, the prospect of the ultimate restoration of the soul to that state of perfection from which it has fallen, its immortality, and the states of reward and punishment after death. The uninitiated were deemed profane, unworthy of public employment or private confidence, sometimes prescribed as atheists, and certain of everlasting punishment beyond the grave. The veil of secrecy was impenetrable, sealed by oaths and penalties, the most tremendous and appalling. It was by initiation only that a knowledge of hieroglyphics, Egyptian, could be obtained, with which the walls, columns, and ceilings of the temples were decorated. The ceremonies were performed at dead of night, with every appliance that could alarm and excite the candidate. The early Christians taught by the founder of the religion, but in greater perfection, those primitive truths that from the Egyptians had passed to the Jews and been preserved among the latter by the Essenes, received also the institution of the mysteries, adopted as their object, the building of the symbolic temple, preserving the old scriptures of the Jews as their sacred book, and as the fundamental law, which furnished the new veil of initiation with the Hebraic words and formulas that, corrupted and disfigured by time and ignorance, appear in many of our degrees. The formula which the primitive Christian church pronounced at the moment of celebrating its mysteries was this: depart, ye profane, let the catechums, or neophytes, and those who have not been admitted or initiated go forth, end quote. The unity of design of the mysteries of all lands show their common origin. They contain secret knowledge and rites of secret worship. At first religious, they became political and promotive of caste, and degenerated into charlatanry. They were imitated in public pageants. The Rose Festival of Portland uses some of the imitations as its obligation of Rosaria. Likewise, the Mardi Gras of New Orleans. Such pageants were common in Eleusinian or Orphic Greece, but the real mysteries were exclusive and secretive to their devotees and initiates. The obligations and penalties were solemn and harrowing. The rites contained not only moral precepts and doctrines of deity, the soul, and future life, but also knowledge of astronomy, the harmonious and regular procession of the stars and the seasons, and the procession of numbers in mathematics. They taught lessons of life, death, and afterlife. They were funeral, heroic, dramatic, as in our mysteries of Hiram. To the Egyptians, Hiram was Osiris, to the Persians, Mithras, to the Greeks, Dionysus, to the Christians, the man of Nazareth. Hiram is Kuram, Hebrew, meaning noble-born, higher type of humanity, quote, exemplar of what man may and should become in the course of ages, gifted with a glorious intellect, a noble soul, a fine organization, and a perfectly balanced moral being, the possibility of the race made real, end quote. Cicero said that the mysteries, quote, for a wild and ferocious life, they have substituted humanity and urbanity of manners. It is with good reason they use the term initiation, for it is through them that we in reality have learned the first principles of life, and they not only teach us to live in a manner more consoling and agreeable, but they soften the pains of death by the hope of a better life hereafter. End quote. Plato, 400 BC, said that the object was to reestablish the soul in its primitive purity. The Roman philosopher 500 years later, Epictetus, to uphold the, quote-unquote, instruction of man and the correction of morals. Aristotle said the mysteries were the most valuable of all religious institutions. Socrates, that they brought to the dying the most glorious hopes for eternity. The mysteries were practiced in Rome until 400 AD, in Athens until 700 AD, in Wales and Scotland until 1100 AD. They contained conceptions that have deeply affected the religious history of the world. In Greece, they were given in four stages. 1. Preliminary purification. 2. Communication of mystic knowledge. 3. Revelation of holy things. And 4. Crowning of the mystic as a privileged person. The Homeric poems, 800 BC, speak of the comfort brought to the afflicted. Modern Catholics are said to receive similar consolation from the elevation of the host at Mass, which is imitative of the mysteries. The early Christians adopted the Mass of Mithras of the Persian mysteries, and thence took their sacraments and their rites of confirmation. The priests of Mithras used confession and baptism, and promised future life of happiness or misery. They celebrated the oblation of bread, image of resurrection, and gave extreme unction. Pythagoras, 500 BC, had 3 mystery degrees for which a preparation of 5 years of abstinence and silence was required. He was familiar with the mysteries of Egypt. He taught mathematics as an evidence of God and his laws, grammar, rhetoric, and logic to improve the reasoning powers, and geometry, music, and astronomy for useful knowledge. He taught also the omnipotence of God, the immortality of the soul, truthfulness, silence, temperance, fortitude, prudence, justice, and abstinence from vice. Particularly, we owe the fellowcraft instructions to Pythagoras. Plato elaborated the Pythagorean doctrines 100 years later. The Masonic fraternity is the modern repository of the mysteries. As used by us, they are shorn of mysticism and superstition and retentive of spiritual and moral values and doctrines of divine unity and harmony and future life of the soul. Mankind has made little or no progress in spiritual and moral excellence in thousands of years, nor in expression. The golden rule seems as distant and ideal as when pronounced by the founders of Christianity and Confucianism in 500 BC. Masonry does not specify the type of future life, nor the dogma of doctrine that is to be followed. Blue Lodge Masonry pledges belief in a future life, but not in immortal life. Scottish Rite Masonry holds the soul to be immortal, but does not postulate the soul's mode of existence hereafter. Some of our degrees are likened to degrees of the ancient mysteries. That is to say, our degrees in their ritual use the ancient teachings and symbolisms and ceremonials. Other degrees of our series follow the philosophy of the ancient mysteries. We use Hebrew symbolisms and discipline, the Druze combination of Hebrew, Mohammedan, and Christian, and the Christian symbolism for Masonry is a faith universal, sharing the beliefs that are common to all great religions, of God, future life, earthly duty, and personal rectitude. The early Christians practiced 3 degrees based upon the ancient mysteries. Some of ours have a similar sequence and present the essence of Scottish Rite philosophy. Ancient astronomers saw symbols in the stars, the circle, triangle, square, parallelogram. The spring constellation of Taurus, the bull, ushered in the blazing star of Sirius, the 3 kinds of Orion, the 5 Hyades, and the 7 Pleiades, signifying the mystic numbers 1, 3, 5, and 7. The Nile began to rise, as our Columbia River does, in the springtime. Osiris returned with Taurus at the time of the vernal equinox to regenerate the world after being slain by a python 6 months before, in the constellation Scorpio, which is opposite Taurus in the sky. Masonic lodges have many astronomical symbols from the ancient mysteries. Churches have them also. The cross is an astronomical signal pointing 4 directions to the universe. The Bible makes many references to the stars. The mysteries have permeated the great religions and still live in them. The birth of Christ was heralded by the Star of the East. We are Knights of the Brazen Serpent because the serpent was an emblem of reason, faith, and repentance. The pharaohs wore the serpent emblem on their brow as a symbol of their piety in the mystery religion. Have we moderns found a better way of explaining the soul's origin and its advent to, and departure from, the body than the ancients had? Are the plain virtues better known now than then? One of our degrees may be likened to the master's degree and to the 3rd degree of the early Christians, to their degree of the faithful, in which their sacramental secrets were confined. Our degree uses Christian symbols and Christian forms of discipline and leads to the explanation of the world in the final Masonic Trinity, God, the source of all, his thought conceiving the universe, his word uttering the thought and becoming the creator. The manifestation, the revelation of the word, is the universe, material, mental, spiritual. The triple dogma has long been known in the sanctuaries of the sages, and Masonry has other expressions of Trinity, such as wisdom, strength, beauty, faith, hope, charity, liberty, equality, fraternity, also many references to other triads. The search for the word has engaged the great minds of the ages. It is a search for the Logos, the nature and purpose of the divine plan for spiritual life and light, by which to guide in the pathway of truth. Philosophers have variously struggled to define the word. To a Mason, the word is a synonym of the true nature of God, of wisdom, intellect, of the soul, of the universe. It is the unuttered expression of being and life that are in the absolute. The search is an allegory of attempts to find the word. In the allegory are represented the general ignorance of the nature and attributes of the true deity, the worship of other deities, and faulty ideas of the great architect. We say the word once found was lost. That is part of the allegory. The writer of St. John Gospel says, quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," end quote. Men have contrived one substitute definition after another, and in this atomic age, they are finding new substitutes for their concepts. We say Masonry is a science of seeking and finding. We have been told that the substitute word of the Master's 3rd degree is Sanskrit, meaning the Holy Child, the Son of God. The formulators of Masonry were Christians to whom the true word was a synonym of Christ the Savior. We could go on and on with substitutes for the word, on which men have not been able to join, and from which they have passed, one after another, unsatisfied. Such is the climax of the mystery degrees of the Scottish Rite, paralleling the craft degrees and the Christian degrees, and signifying 3 steps or stages. 1. Material blindness, repentance, and light. 2. Intellectual sympathy, justice, gratitude, veneration, geometry, rule of harmony. And 3. Spiritual, rebirth, death, resurrection, faith, the new law, love, yea, one another. Masonry holds that justice and beneficence are divine attributes shared by imperfect man. Evil, pain, and sorrow are paths of the divine harmony to be balanced according to the divine plan and not by human creed or doctrine. Says Albert Pike, quote, "Masonry inculcates its old doctrine, that God is one, that his thought, uttered in his word, created the universe and preserves it by those eternal laws which are the expression of that thought, that the soul of man, breathed into him by God, is immortal as his thoughts are, that he is free to do evil or to choose good, responsible for his acts, punishable for his sins, that all evil and wrong and suffering are but temporary, the discords of one great harmony, and that in his good time they will lead by infinite modulations to the great harmonic final chord and cadence of truth, love, peace, and happiness that will ring forever and ever under the arches of heaven among all the spheres of the world." stars, and worlds, and in all souls of men and angels. End quote. This is the Masonic Creed expressed in these four degrees. Quote, believe in God's infinite benevolence, wisdom, and justice. Hope for the final triumph of good over evil and the perfect harmony as the final result of all the concords and discords of the universe, and be charitable as God is toward the unfaith, the errors, the follies, and the faults of men, for all make one great brotherhood. End quote. And by revealing light of initiation, learn, know, live. All right, wild stuff. I know some of it got pretty deep. Some of you may be listening thinking it didn't go deep enough. Well, that is where we always have to say, we've given you the tools. It's time for you to keep digging deeper. So now comes the point in the show. We're going to ask you to support the show either one of many ways. First and foremost, we have our applications available for Windows 8, available for your Apple device, and also on your Droid. What the app does essentially is allows you to listen to the show streaming, or you can download it and just have it on your iPod or your iPhone or your Android tablet or your Windows 8, and you can listen to it without cell signal, or you can mark your favorites. Two really nice features of the app, actually. What make it different than just subscribing or listening via the web is that through the app, you'll get access to the papers that we read on the show so that you can have them for yourself. You can read them in Lodge. You can use them for education, whatever you want to do with them. But you get access to those via PDF. And also, I try to put in something fun, which is usually a Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device. And it's a picture that is sized appropriately so that you can just save it and then set it as your wallpaper on your phone or your tablet. And you can get those apps if you visit our website, wcypodcast.com. And you can just click on the support the show links and you'll see all the links for all the things I'm talking about right now, right there. The second way you can help us out is by doing some shopping. So you can check out onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T.com, and they make quite a bit of healthy living supplements and workout equipment, all that's all natural. All of it is vegan certified. It's really good stuff, so you don't have to worry. If you're a vegetarian, you can get it. If you're a vegan, you can get it. If you're not a vegan, you can still use it. It's still really all good stuff. I hope you guys check it out. When you check out, please use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they will send a little bit of the percentage of the sale back to this show. The second place you can do some shopping is freemasonryart.com, which is an amazing website for fine art prints, all Masonic kind of stuff, including handmade leather aprons, which are done by Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast, and also he's on the Masonic Roundtable. He is a fine artist by trade. That's what his day job is. He's phenomenal. I would definitely have you go to that website, freemasonryart.com, just to check it out. You'll like what you see. Again, at checkout, please use the promo code WCY. It gets you 10% off, and it helps keep this show on. Another way you can help with this show is through PayPal. You pick the donation amount, whether it's $1, $2, whatever it's going to be, and it sends it right to the show. You pick the amount again, and that's it. So when you make those donations, it just goes right into an account that helps keep this show going and keeps all the past episodes available for all time. Again, many thanks to Brother David and Brother Steve Harrison for your continued donations. They make this show possible, literally. And we have one other thing I'd like to mention is that we ran a promotion with Brother Tech, who had a book out called A Christian's Perspective on Masonic Symbols. And I want to say a special thanks to Brother Tech, who helped us out with a large donation to the show through his book, A Christian's Perspective on Masonic Symbols. He actually gave $1 to us for every single book that he sold for a period of time. So just a special thanks to him and to whoever went out and bought that book. I really appreciate it. If you haven't read that book, I would suggest you go and you get it now. It's a $3 book. It's an ebook. It's phenomenal, especially for the Christian Mason. I think you'll really enjoy it. And another special thanks to Brother Stephen L. Harrison, illustrious Brother Stephen Harrison, who wrote another great book called Tales from the Craft. And I'm about halfway done with it. It's an amazing book. If you like neat little short stories about masonry and just wild things that have happened within the craft, check that book out. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's called Tales from the Craft by Stephen Harrison. It's an ebook. It's only, I think it's $3 on Amazon. And again, he is also donating $1 from each sale to Whence Came You. And I am taking the donations and I am splitting them 50-50 with the Masonic Roundtable so that we can help fund that show as well. So check those things out. And next up is our Famous Freemason of the Week. This week's Famous Freemason is Lionel Leo Hampton, born April 20th, 1908, and he passed away August 31st in 2002. He was an American jazz vibraphonist, pianist, percussionist, bandleader, and actor. Hampton was the first jazz vibraphone player. Hampton ranks among the greatest names in jazz history, having worked with a who's who of jazz musicians, from Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Buddy Rich, Charlie Parker, Charles Mingus, and Quincy Jones. And in 1992, he was inducted into the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame. During the 1950s, he had a strong interest in Judaism and raised money for Israel. In 1953, he composed a King David suite and performed it in Israel with the Boston Pops Orchestra. Later in life, Hampton became a Christian Scientist. Hampton was a 33rd degree Prince Hall Freemason in New York. Also, in January of 97, his apartment caught fire and destroyed his awards and belongings. Hampton escaped uninjured. Lionel Hampton died from congestive heart failure at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York on August 31st, 2002. He was interred at the Woodlawn Cemetery, Bronx, New York. His funeral was held on September 7, 2002 and featured performances by Wynton Marsalis and David Ostwald's Gully Low Jazz Band at Riverside Church in Manhattan. The procession began at the Cotton Club in Harlem. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WhenceCameU. Check us out on Google Plus, also at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Check out all our links on wcypodcast.com, and I'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. WhenceCameU. I'm Robert Johnson.